the greatest superhero. As we prepare to look at this week, godly examples for godly living, godly heroes for godly living. Our text again, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And we are considering tonight Jesus as the greatest superhero. And we looked this morning at the qualities that he possesses. We looked at two of those qualities as to why we should model and follow after him. And the first one was we looked at his goodness. He is one who does good, who is good, and therefore we as his followers should be about doing that which is good, even in the face of knowing that sometimes it's a challenge to do those things which are good, but having in our mind that God is going to bless us even though it will be challenging. Then we looked at Jesus as the King of kindness. He is not only Lord of lords and kings of kings and has all power, but he is the King of kindness, which he demonstrated to those he came in contact with, even those, the one who betrayed him. Jesus still demonstrated kindness to Judas. Washed his feet just as the other apostles, did not shortchange him and did not misuse him, but even still washed his feet. And tonight, I want to look at Jesus as the captain of courage. When we consider Jesus as the captain of courage, anyone who is a captain is a person of great power and influence. And courage is the quality of acting in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in the face of criticism. And when we look at the life of Christ, we see him as a courageous individual. Even as a young boy, Jesus demonstrated courage. At 12 years old, when he was left behind in the temple by his family, when they found him, they did not find him anxious or troubled with tear-stained eyes because he could not find his mama and daddy. Jesus seemed to be all right, even after being left at least 3 days. They went a day's journey. And the Bible says that in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 46, that after 3 days, they found him sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He doesn't seem like somebody whom was left behind. seemed like he was right where he wanted to be. And when his mother told them how they had sought him for him, sorrowing, he boldly and courageously explained that he must be about his father's business. And I want to suggest to us that Jesus, even from a young man, was courageous, and his courage was not motivated by his own personal agenda, nor by his personal ambitions. See, when we want to do something, we can be very courageous. When you want a PlayStation, you can be very courageous. But when you are about doing the agenda of somebody else, we sometimes cower back and we don't want to do what we're asked to do if somebody else asks us to do it. But when it's for us, we can be very courageous. But Jesus had an agenda that was outside of himself. He was about the Father's business. In the face of religious leaders of his day, he boldly healed a man who was born blind from his mother's womb. In John chapter 9, those disciples asked Jesus, "Who did sin that this man was born blind? This man or his parents?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Those religious leaders, when they saw that the man had been healed from his blindness, and they recognized that it was on the Sabbath day, they began to interrogate this man. "Who did this?" And when they found out it was Jesus, they said, "Surely this cannot be a person from God, because he did this thing on the Sabbath day." Jesus was courageous enough to say, "I'm not going to be influenced by what the religious leaders think and say. I have an agenda that is higher than the Pharisees, that's higher than the scribes. It is the agenda of my Father. And so I'm going to be about his business." Why was Jesus so courageous? You remember in John chapter 8, he withstood those leaders to the face. In John 8 and verse number 24, he told them, "I say therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am," and in parentheses there or in italics it says "he," "ye shall die in your sins." Jesus was claiming emphatically that "I am the I am." He is not shirking from his divine prerogative and his divine nature. He tells them boldly, "If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." That's a courageous man. That's a courageous Savior. And one of the characteristics that identified his disciples, that identified their association with Jesus, was their boldness and their courage. In Acts chapter 8, 4 and verse number 8, those Peter and John had healed that man who was lame. And the religious leaders arrested them. The Bible says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They were not afraid to tell the people that you got to hear Jesus. I know you crucified him and you don't want to hear from him, but this is the reason that this man, he is the reason that this man stands whole before you. And if you want to be saved, you got to hear and submit to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. One of the markers of our being with Jesus ought to be that we have courage and boldness. We need more courageous Christians to speak on the Lord's behalf. But boldness is not rudeness, nor is it being callous or insensitive. Courage and boldness is done out of love for the person, and we tell the truth to them in love. Christians are needed who are bold enough and courageous enough. When they go through the drive-through, they're bold enough and courageous enough to invite that person to church, oh, to come to Vacation Bible School. Bold enough. Those Christians who are courageous enough to tell people the truth of the gospel, who let people know that I'm about my Father's business. I can't go with you to this particular outing, this event, because I'm about my Father's business. It might be unpopular and even inconvenient, but be bold enough to stand for righteousness in the face of unrighteousness. Jesus was courageous, and he wants his followers to be courageous. Not only was Jesus courageous, but he was also a titan of truth. When you think of a titan, we're thinking of a person that has enormous strength and power. We think of those Greek gods of mythology who were considered titans, and those are individuals, persons of great strength and power. And we need to have individuals who are also titans of truth. Jesus was a man of truth. The Bible says about him that no guile was found in his mouth, which means he didn't trick people. He didn't defraud them. He didn't deceive them. No deception was found in his mouth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Not only is Jesus a man of truth, Jesus is the personification of truth. In other words, when you look at him, you see truth. You see reality. He is the personification of truth. And he wants his followers to know the truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Well, how can his disciples know the truth? He tells them how. He says, when you obey my word, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know, when you continue in his word, then you are continuing in the truth. And when you continue in that truth will make you free. John 17:17, I know you know this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If he wants us to know the truth, and he wants us to be engaged in learning the truth, then I know he wants us to tell the truth. Jesus would tell us, Paul would pick up the pen of inspiration and write to the church of Ephesus, say to them, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. Why? Because we are members one of another. So then if I lie to you, then I lie to myself, because we are members one of another. So Jesus not only would have us to learn the truth and speak the truth, but he would also want us to do it in such a way that the world would know that we love him, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse number 15. People need the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Seems like even with some of our so-called superheroes, truth vacillates and will alter and change just depending upon the situation one finds themselves in. It could be truth here, but then if I get into a situation, I come with another truth that's convenient for me. And that is not what Jesus is all about. He's all about truth at all times. Even though it might hurt you, he's still about the truth, because he's about saving. He's about saving each and every man. There's nobody like Jesus. He is the greatest superhero. He donned the robe of human flesh, experienced the pain of hungering, suffered the trauma of thirst, endured the agony of loneliness, tolerated the shame of nakedness, faced the struggle of poverty, entered the humiliation of blasphemy, in order that he might reveal to us the splendor of God's eternal glory. Keep looking at him. I know you went to see that movie Avengers, and they had to face the great enemy Thanos. And I don't want to spoil it for you, but if you ain't seen it by now, you don't plan to see it. You don't plan to see it. And I believe that if you want to conquer Thanos, you got to come through the superhero Jesus. Because Thanos is the Greek word death. Jesus says, well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to see now how you gonna conquer death. Watch what he says. He says that, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, Thanos, is swallowed up in victory. Oh, Thanos, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory. Oh, you want to conquer death? You got to make sure you connect it to Jesus. Oh, I would tell you that when they were fighting in that movie, all of those heroes start coming up and appearing. But I want to tell you that I'm surrounded by a greater cloud of witnesses. Every where I go, I may not see them, but I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we shall overcome. Oh, Jesus is the greatest superhero. I know I didn't have much left in the tank, but thank y'all for bearing with a brother. And I just want you to know, we walk around here and you got all of this good stuff and you paid all that good money for it, and we gonna give you some free superhero information this week so that you can live a victorious life. You might never fly and wear a cape, but one of these days, we're going to all fly away and be with our superhero forever, singing praises around his throne. If you're here, you're not a child of God, not on the Lord's side. Don't you want to have the assurance of victory? Because the one thing I do know, we all are going to leave this world. Lest Jesus delays his coming, amen, we all going out in one of those boxes. And when I go, I want to make sure that I have Jesus on my side so that he can usher me in before the presence of Almighty God. If you're not a child of God, you don't have this kind of assurance. You need to know that Jesus died for you so that you could have victory over death. But you're going to have to acknowledge him as the Son of the living God. You're going to have to decide, I want to follow him wholeheartedly. I'm going to turn from my ways and turn to his ways. That's called repentance. And I'll acknowledge before the world, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm going to be baptized for the remission of sin, rise to be a new creation in Christ. If you're here, you're a child of God, you need to make sure you got all of these characteristics: goodness, kindness, courage, truth, and you're applying them to your life. And you know that God will be pleased with you But if you know you haven't been doing what you need to do, tonight you can get things right. You come right now as we stand, as we sing the song of invitation.
480. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory.